Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. The first missionary journey of Paul is recorded in Acts chapters 13 and 14. With Barnabas as his traveling companion and by direction of the Holy Spirit, Paul left Antioch of Syria and in the course of about 2 years preached the gospel on the island of Cyprus and throughout the Roman province of Galatia in Asia Minor. The primary cities in which he and Barnabas preached in this region were Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. Within 1 to 3 years of having completed this tour, Paul wrote a letter to the churches in this region. This letter is what we call the Book of Galatians. This book is partly a personal defense of Paul's apostleship, demonstrating that he was the equal of all the other apostles, including Peter. And it is partly a reiteration of the true faith in Jesus Christ and a call to return to it in their conduct. At the heart of the problems that Paul addressed in this letter is the situation he addressed in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Here's what Paul said. "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still striving to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." As we consider what Paul said in this passage, there are several elements that stand out for us. First of all is Paul's amazement at what had happened among the Galatians and how quickly it had occurred. These were churches that he had personally established less than 3 years previously. They had readily accepted him and given heed to his teaching. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, Paul said that they had received him as an angel of God and would have plucked their eyes out for him. So it is no wonder that he is shocked and amazed at their sudden departure from the gospel. Through the rest of the letter to the Galatians, we discover that Judaizing teachers had led the Galatians astray. But it was still very troubling to Paul that his own influence had been so quickly overcome, and by people who held no actual leadership role in the church. Next, we note that Paul clearly declared the teaching by which they had been led astray as a different gospel. The word which is here translated gospel is the Greek word for good news. In its original usage, this word could mean any kind of good news. It could be the birth of a healthy baby, a successful harvest, a soldier safely returned from battle, or a loved one recovered from some illness. As it was used by the Lord and his apostles, however, it took on a very specific meaning. The good news of which these spoke was the good news that there is a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. This good news embodied a specific body of teaching that Jesus commissioned his apostles to preach, and which was not subject to change by anyone. In Jude verse 3, Jude refers to this good news, this gospel, as the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. To the Galatians, Paul pointedly stated that the gospel to which they should be obedient is that which he had preached to them when he first visited them. In point of fact, Paul made it clear that there is only one gospel, and it is that which he had preached to them when he first came among them. And notice again the way in which Paul laid it out for them. In verse 6, he said that they had gone after a different gospel. In verse 7, he pointed out that it was not really another gospel, but rather was a distortion of the gospel of Christ. It was something that disturbed their faith rather than built up their faith. Then in verses 8 and 9, Paul brought out the heavy artillery. The standard for measuring what is and what is not the true gospel is what he had preached to them and which they had freely received from him. Nothing but that body of teaching was the good news of Christ. And furthermore, no one had the authority, whether in heaven or on earth, to change that body of teaching. It is particularly significant that Paul named both apostles and angels, as well as mere men, as being unqualified to alter the terms of the message that had been preached to the churches of Galatia. So firm was this prohibition that Paul twice used the Greek word anathema to describe the punishment that would be meted out to anyone who dared to change the gospel of Christ. Now, this word anathema is literally a curse placed upon any who might dare to do so. Whether man, apostle, or even angel of heaven, Paul pronounced a curse, an eternal curse, upon those who distort the gospel of Christ. In the context of the book of Galatians, the distortion of the gospel involved teaching that Gentiles must be circumcised and observe the law of Moses in order to be Christians. This was patently false, since no one, not even the Jews, were required to keep the law of Moses in the kingdom of Christ. Today, a distortion of the gospel occurs anytime someone adds to or takes away from the original message preached by Paul and the rest of the apostles. And the same curse still applies to those so foolish as to alter that message, whatever justification they may claim. The bottom line for Paul is in verse 10. The real question for anyone who preaches the gospel is, who are you trying to please? In the context of the letter to the Galatians, the Judaizers were trying to please themselves. They didn't like the idea of the Gentiles being able to become Christians without at least doing some of what the Jews had done under the law of Moses. It pleased them to make the Gentiles demonstrate their desire to please God by submitting to circumcision. The problem for the Judaizers is that this did not please God. As Paul said, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And this is the point in a nutshell. Those who proclaim the gospel of Christ are slaves to Christ. He alone is the one they must please in their preaching. And anything that does not please him is a different gospel, a distortion of the true gospel. To preach any such distortion is to bring upon oneself the curse that is stated in verses 8 and 9. Since any other gospel will bring the apostle's curse down, it is important then to know what his gospel, the gospel of Christ, is. In the context of the book of Galatians, Paul made it clear that the gospel he preached was not a gospel of adherence to any part of the law of Moses. Instead, he reminded them that the salvation they had received had come by faith in Christ Jesus and not by works of the law. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, Paul said, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." Now, as Paul laid it out here, the message to which the Galatians had originally responded was Jesus Christ and him crucified. The series of rhetorical questions in verses 2 through 5 that we have just read are all understood to be answered in the affirmative with regard to hearing with faith and in the negative with regard to works of the law. None of the blessings they enjoyed as Christians had come about by means of the law of Moses. So to pursue a gospel, any gospel, that reverted to the old law was fruitless. Instead, the only gospel that is truly good news is faith in Jesus Christ who died for our sins on the cross. This is the definition of gospel that Paul gave to the church in Corinth, and it most certainly was the same message as he had preached to the people in the churches of Galatia. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul said, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." The good news, then, is that Jesus came to the earth, lived and died as a man, to fulfill God's eternal purpose to save mankind by his death, burial, and resurrection. This salvation is accessed by faith, not by works of the law of Moses, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It is not accessed by faith alone, however, as some assert today. How odd it is in the first century that Paul had to correct the false teaching that salvation was tied to the works of the law of Moses, and 1,400 years later, religious leaders took Paul's instruction out of context and distorted it to teach another kind of different gospel, a gospel of faith only. In the same way that the Judaizing gospel of obedience to the law by means of circumcision was wrong, so also the Reformation gospel of salvation by faith alone is wrong. Both are foreign to what Paul preached to the Galatian people. Both are different gospels. Both are distortions of the true gospel, which fall under the apostles' curse. Paul said that the Galatians had received the Spirit by hearing with faith, Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said that receiving the Spirit was the promise made to those who were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Therefore, it seems that faith and baptism for forgiveness of sins are connected by inspiration. This truth is stipulated by Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. He said, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise." This is the good news Paul preached to the people of Galatia. This is the good news that they believed and obeyed. This is the good news that saved them from their sins. Any other so-called good news was not really good news at all, because it was different from what had been delivered to them. So it is also today. Any good news which is not this good news which we have read from Paul's letter to the Galatians will not save, and therefore it is a different gospel, and it is not good news at all. As we consider these things that we've studied from Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia, we have to ask ourselves where our hope is. Is our hope in the gospel that Paul preached, or is it in another gospel, a different gospel, a distorted gospel that will only bring down the apostles' curse? The good news is that we can still obey the true gospel just like the people of Galatia did, and thereby receive the promised salvation of God. The only question is, are we willing to obey the one and only true good news that Paul preached by being obedient to the gospel this very day? Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.